presence of absence. It can be a combination of nostalgia or longing for something that you once knew but can't ever have again. Sometimes I feel it if I return to my old hometown or as my daughters graduate and move out. I can return to the homes that I've lived in the past, but I can't go into my old bedroom or go through the neighborhood knocking on doors looking for friends to play basketball with. I can visit with Kelsey and Morgan after she leaves, but I won't be able to attend their halftime shows or musical performances anymore. That train has left the station. It's said that you can't jump into the same river twice, and that's kind of how it goes with life in these cases, too. The river looks the same, but it's different. And in those moments, in creeps that feeling of saudade, the awareness of what is absent from an all-too-familiar place or thing or experience. As we go through Lent and begin Holy Week, we engage in a time of intense reflection. We've participated in the Stations of the Cross, and we've had a penance service. We've had a special reading of Psalms each week, and now we've done a reading of the Passion. This reflection connects us to Jesus, who he is, what he went through, why he did it. To bear the of all of the sinfulness of humanity, a burden which is both awe-inspiring and overwhelming to think about. For Jesus to ponder the end of his human existence on earth while sharing the Last Supper with his disciples and while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm thinking of his sense in his human form of saudade and the disparity of what he felt versus what those closest to him felt. His sense that all things that he knew and participated in were coming to an end. He pondered this while his followers slept comfortably. He was all alone without anyone to share his grief. No longer would he lead them, no longer would he go home to his mother, no longer would he preach to the masses. At least none of this would take place in the way he had come to know it in his human form and his short life on earth. Soon enough, those who followed him would know his deepest longing, but they didn't share it with him in that moment. And that's where, for this Holy Week, I wanted to shift the focus to the saudade of the disciples. They did believe that they could be faithful followers of Jesus while he was there with them. Soon, they would have to carry the torch that Jesus would leave behind without him. It's overwhelming. I imagine them thinking, "We felt like we were a part of something when you were here, and now it is on us, it is on me to carry your ministry. We are lost. I am lost. Where do I go? What do I do? What do I say to people? We are in the same place, but everything is different now." I'm reminded of a scene in a recent movie, Apollo 13, and in the midst of the journey of three astronauts trapped in a failing spacecraft halfway between the Earth and the Moon, they have no plan to return them to home to safety. And the crew and the support team project a sense of calm desperation as they try to methodically improvise a way to get everyone home on the fly. And the families and the friends of the crew, along with the rest of the nation and even many parts all over the world, were people that were rooting for them but could do nothing other than helplessly watch and wait. And a TV journalist shows a clip of a previous interview that he'd done with the mission commander, Jim Lovell, before he had launched on the mission. And the interviewer asks Jim Lovell if he's ever been scared. And Lovell responds with this incredible story. He says, "I remember this one time I'm in a Banshee at night in combat conditions, so the carrier doesn't have its lights on. We were in the Sea of Japan, my radar had jammed, and my homing signal was gone because somebody in Japan was actually using the same frequency, so it was leading me away from where I was supposed to be. And I'm looking down at this big black ocean, so I flip on my map light and suddenly, zap! Everything shorts out, and right there in my cockpit, all my instrument lights are gone. I can't even tell what my altitude is. I know I'm running out of fuel, so I'm starting to think about ditching into the ocean. I look down again, and in the darkness, There's this green trail. It's like a long carpet that's just laid out beneath me. And it was the algae. It was the phosphorescent stuff that gets churned up in the wake of a big ship. And it was just leading me home. And if my cockpit lights hadn't shorted out, there's no way I'd ever been able to see that. So you never know what events are going to transpire to get you home. And so for the friends and the loved ones that are watching this moment, Jim Lovell became their pastor for a brief moment, delivering a sermon, guiding them to find the faith that they needed to remain hopeful and endure. And I think that that's just a modern example that we face in our daily lives of what the disciples were facing. Not having Jesus there in human flesh anymore. They, like the loved ones of the Apollo mission, had to have faith that they would be able to see their way through this without knowing what the future held for them. The church went to the cross with Jesus that day, and yet it lives today. The church today lives through you, and it lives through us who make it alive through our faith. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Just as it was with the disciples in the difficult days ahead, so it remains with us to breathe life into the church and to make Christ alive through our words, our deeds, and our acts of love. Thank you.